Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Isn't it time that you powerfully aligned with your soul's purpose and activated your divine gifts and talents so that you can thrive in the new paradigm? Welcome to Soul Purpose Central with internationally acclaimed radio host Jennifer Longmore, North America's Soul Purpose Expert. You've been divinely guided here because something deep within your diamond light longs to be activated so that you can joyously evolve through your ascension journey. Congratulations! You have arrived at the right place. After 20,000 soul purpose and healing sessions, Jennifer now joyfully shares with you her profound wisdom and experience in the Akashic Records, multidimensional healing, and all that is relevant to your creation story as a unique spark of divine light, love. Join us for your connection to the wisdom of the collective Akasha and selected experts who can align you to all things soul purpose. Prepare to be activated, aligned, and accelerated on your ascension path. Now, here's your host, Jennifer Longmore.
Welcome, everyone, to Soul Purpose Central. I am your hostess with the mostest, Jennifer Longmore, North America's Soul Purpose Expert, and I'm so excited to share, with you today, a very special guest, but also that you're sharing your time with us today. And as you know, I like to bring you guests that really know their stuff and support you in living a really rich, purposeful life. It's one thing to know your purpose, it's another thing to live your purpose, so I want to bring you information and experts that can help you do just that. And just in case you haven't done so already, please go to visit my website, souljourneys.ca, and there you'll find your free soul acceleration system, which is going to help you identify the nine most powerful questions that you need to align to your purpose. But also there's lots of really neat events that we've got going on, and we're always launching new things. So make sure you check us out there at www.souljourneys.ca. And for today, I want to introduce you to a very special friend and colleague, Kim Saracen, who is known as the Queen of Hearts. She's actually the founder of attractyourking.com, so make sure you go there to check her out. And today we're going to be talking about conscious communication for soulmate success. And aside from having Kim as a very dear friend and colleague, I also know that she knows her stuff. And one of the top three questions that I was asked over the last 20,000 plus soul purpose reading sessions was, where's my soulmate? And this is a hot topic for people. It never really goes away. And so I want to support you in learning how to communicate effectively in a conscious relationship, because relationships are changing, and to make some really conscious decisions about how you're going to show up and how you're going to attract to you what you want to create, including a soulmate, kindred spirit, twin flame, whatever terminology you use. But we're going to go with soulmate for today. So before we dive into that, if you're not familiar with Kim, she is a soulmate success expert and also known as the Queen of Hearts. I mentioned she is the founder of attractyourking.com, and she's one of North America's most sought-after dating and relationship experts. She has very popular seminars, products, and coaching programs because she's made it her life mission to help men and women across the world heal their hearts and permanently end their suffering in love so that they can attract and live in love with their perfect divine soulmate. And she uses a combination of high intuition and 12 years of experience coaching thousands of individuals because she has developed fast methods of healing that help them really laser in on exactly what's been blocking them in this lifetime and beyond. She actually has an 87% success rate for connecting individuals with their soulmate, and she's attracted a lot of national media attention throughout North America on CBC, Global TV, The Globe and Mail, BC Business, Shape Magazine, and so many more. She's also been nominated 2 years in a row as the RBC Entrepreneur of the Year Award because she knows her stuff and she gets results. So you can see why I'd want to introduce you to her today. So she's also created something that's really accessible for you if you're wanting to just kind of ease your way in, her Soulmate Success Club, which is a monthly club providing men and women with the latest tips on soulmate success, along with her soulmate attraction seminars and so on. So we'll talk a little bit more about that later, but without further ado, I'd like to welcome Kim to the call. Welcome, Kim.
Hi, Jennifer. I'm really excited to be here.
excited to have you.
Yeah.
So here we are in Soul Purpose Central. You heard me say that one of the top three questions, well, the three most important questions, or the three most common questions, I should say, that I get asked over the years are, what's my purpose, where's my soulmate, and how can I have more money? So you're covering one of those questions. And it really does, you know, I mean, we've talked a lot privately, obviously, because of our relationship, about how this really supports people in living their purpose. But before we go there, I think it's important for people to hear how you got aligned to your purpose, because we tend to learn a lot through other people's stories. So in a nutshell version, how did you even come to be the Queen of Hearts?
Well, it was a dark and stormy night.
The wind was beating up against the window.
Well, certainly metaphorically in my relationships, Jennifer, because how I came to my purpose of doing this for a living was really out of misery. It was out of complete frustration in my own love life and with men. And kind of what was happening was, I realized as I was getting older that my relationships were getting worse. And this was really confounding me, because I thought relationships were kind of like a job. When you're in a job for X amount of years, you're generally learning more, getting better at it, and getting promoted. And I just thought, you know, if I just keep having enough relationships and I'm going along here, one day I'm just going to wake up and know everything. Well, I kept waking up and still not knowing anything, and my relationships just weren't improving. And so I took a pretty radical move in my life and decided that's it. I had had one more relationship where I got deeply hurt and was just not getting my needs fulfilled, and I decided I'm going to really do something about this. So radical me, I basically quit my job, put everything in storage, and headed down to California, where I studied with gurus and experts, and I interviewed happy couples, I interviewed singles, and I started really gathering information on my own personal quest to have better relationships. And what I started noticing was, A, men were responding to me in a much different way. I was attracting a lot better guys, better quality guys, and I was having more fun. And B, the people around me, my women friends around me, were wanting to know, like, what is she having? Like, I want what she's having. And how are you doing that, Kim? And so I would give them tips here and there, and then enough people were asking me that I just said, look, why doesn't everybody just come over to my place on Saturday and I'll just lay it all out for you? And that's basically, you know, kind of how this all got started. I realized that I had a gift for sharing what I had learned and conveying it in a really simple way, and I could break things down into steps. And so that's basically, and it just felt so good while I was doing it. I knew it was my divine purpose, and I was seeing people get results, and I was loving it. So that's really how it got started. It started with these seminars that I'm putting on, and then just grew into private coaching and products and all these other things. And I can clearly see that this is what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life. There's just no question.
I love what you shared, and particularly the part about going and making it your mission. Like, you went and interviewed people and really researched it. I'm a firm believer in researching anything that you want to get into, and especially if you're not getting results, or you do want to get results and you don't know where to get started. So many people just sit around and moan and complain that they don't have what they want, but they take absolutely no action to align to what they claim they want.
Oh, Jennifer, it's so true. And I knew that I was so stuck in relationship that I couldn't actually just kind of attend a workshop about it or read a couple of books on it. I actually had to make it my life mission in order to heal it.
Mm-hmm. And it lends the question, you know, what is it worth to you? If you've been dreaming your whole life of finding a person that you can, you know, experience a certain quality of life with and create certain things together, perhaps children, perhaps a lifetime partnership, perhaps someone you can travel the world with or whatever, then what is, I'm not saying asking you, I'm asking everyone listening, what does that wish you?
Mm-hmm.
And what is it costing you to not pursue that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's a lot of people who are just thinking, you know, well, I'll just, you know, read a few books on this, or I'll attend one seminar and then it's all done. Well, it's not like that. It's actually learning how to relate with the opposite sex is a lifetime journey, and it's an amazing journey. It's going to have its ups and it's going to have its downs, and you can't let the dips in the valley hook you or prevent you from still wanting and desiring to have that perfect mate come into your life. And it's really interesting, Jennifer, and this is something I want to have, especially for the single people listening. You know, sometimes it's a person's path, it's their unique path to meet their soulmate at a very young age, like high school sweethearts. And they're meant to be together forever because they're meant to learn all their lessons together about men and women in relationships. And for other people, their path is to have a series of relationships and a series of different experiences and people in order for them to get their life lessons in terms of romance and relationship. So if you're looking at people who've been together for like 10 years or 20 years and it's working, believe me, below the surface, behind the scenes, they're learning all their lessons together with that one person.
Yeah, I love how you shared that.
So don't lose hope is what I'm saying. Just because you haven't met your soulmate yet, it's just because that is your unique path.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I know you feel the same way, and for everyone listening who's saying, well, why are we doing this? Really, the two greatest healers, I believe, and I sense that you believe this as well, Kim, that you can engage with in this lifetime. You'll never need to hire another healer again to help you work on the issues in your tissues if you choose to either start your own business or get into a romantic relationship. And if you do both,
I agree.
God bless you. And
yeah.
I've also seen the effects of not being in a relationship, you know, for people that really want to be in a relationship who aren't, I've seen the effects of that even on their health. What are, just as an aside, what are some things that you've noticed about people who aren't in a romantic relationship but want to be, just health-wise?
Health-wise, well, it's certainly, it can get them into depression.
Mm-hmm.
They can get into these depressed states where, and also in terms of their joy in life, there's something missing because a lot of people will hold off on doing things until they meet the person that they are going to spend their life with. So they'll put dreams on hold, or, you know, they won't take that trip around the world, or, I don't know, they won't even just go out and enjoy an amazing meal because they don't, you know, in a nice restaurant because they don't have a person sitting across from them. So what's happening is they aren't really chomping down on life and being joyful. And actually, being happy and carefree is the thing that makes you the most attractive. So when you're pining or down on yourself or, you know, wondering where are they, and living your life a certain way, like as if you can't be fulfilled unless you have someone there, that's actually sending out a frequency and a vibe that's pushing away people that could actually be a really good partner for you because they can pick up on, their barometer picks up on what's going on inside of you.
Mm-hmm. One of the other things I've noticed is, and I know we're going to get into conscious communication in a bit, but I think it's important to kind of look at some of these things we're talking about now because people don't always know the impact to themselves. I notice people, they kind of have a different spirit about them when they're in relationship versus when they're not. And a lot of my friends who've recently got into relationships, I mean, everything's taking off for them without even trying, just simply because they brought that frequency into their field. But I definitely noticed that there can be health-related issues, definitely circulation issues to do with the heart, because, of course, we're not activating our heart chakra the way we want. Also, issues with hormones because we're not, you know, activating the sacral chakra the way that we would if we were, you know, just engaging even energetically, let alone sexually, with someone else. And then all the ripple effects that that has on the body when our hormones aren't imbalanced. The other thing I notice is really common, and I'm sure you can speak to this because I see this, and I don't even coach people in relationships the way you do, is women in particular making it about the weight. So they gain weight because they're unhappy that they're not in a loving relationship, but they also use it as the reason to block why they can't be in one.
Oh, absolutely, no question. In fact, I worked with a client last year who was very angry with men and had put on a lot of weight. She hadn't had a date for maybe about 7 years, like no relationship and no date. And once we got to the deeper...
And I'm sure I can't imagine that it would have been her anger that would have been creating that.
No, not at all.
Because usually that's a very attractive quality in other people, right?
Men do a beeline for that, yeah.
Ooh, I love hanging around angry people. Can I take you out on a date?
Yeah, she looks like she's going to be a lot of work. Can I get your number? Yeah, so she had some really deeply ingrained anger, and as we were working together and healing that and melting her walls, she didn't go on a diet. She didn't change any of her exercise program, but about 3 months into our coaching together, she revealed that she stepped on the scale and she had lost 30 pounds.
Mm.
And it was all the emotional weight that she had lost, like just in shifting her thought patterns, in cracking her heart open and doing all these things, it just melted off. And of course, when you melt weight off, you become more attractive and you're ready to kind of, it's a huge sign actually that you're ready, you know,
mm-hmm.
you're making yourself, you're physically changing, you're physiologically changing to prepare for that mate.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's use that as a starting point then. When you're ready, whatever has been holding you back, and now you're finally ready, like you really mean it this time, you want to be in a relationship, for everyone that's listening right now. And then we go out on a date. We find someone, we go out on a date, and then we seem to have some confusion. Maybe we're communicating one way, they're communicating another way, especially now with it seems like there's differing definitions in relationship. There's different pockets of sort of relationship styles that are popping up as far as open relationships and what it means to have a conscious relationship, all that kind of stuff. So why do you see that women and men have such difficulty in communicating and understanding each other?
You know, and it's so funny because you'd think in this technologically advanced world we live in and with all the other ways that we're moving forward.
And all the money we invest in communication tools.
Right, absolutely.
We have a phone, we have an iPad, we have a...
Oh, my goodness.
BlackBerry, we have email, we have a
PinkBerry, we have a BlueBerry.
What is wrong with us? Why can't we communicate effectively?
Exactly.
You we have sign language, big Latin.
You'd think it'd be easy, but no, it isn't the case at all. And there's a lot of things going on. So first of all, women are feeling like men don't communicate enough, and men feel like women communicate too much. It's so hilarious, you know, and of course when we're communicating with the same sex, it's a piece of cake, woman to woman, man to man, but as soon as it becomes the opposite sex, it seems like just everything seems to break down. So I wanted, you know, I'm just going to give you a little bit of background on where women and men are currently in modern day society. So, here women have entered the workforce, and we're making our own money. We've become really self-sufficient. We're really independent. I mean, we can even have a baby without a man now. You know, it's like we're very independent. As a result, what's happening for guys is they aren't feeling useful anymore. They're not feeling needed by women. And mostly, they're just not feeling productive. And the key word here is production. Production is huge for men. And what they want to do is they want to produce, especially for a woman. But the problem is a man can't produce if he doesn't know what the woman wants. And when I say produce, I mean whatever it is, it's you know, picking stuff up for a woman, it's fixing things, it's the doing thing, because men are real doers. So women are not asking for what they want for a couple of reasons. They think men can read their mind, that's one of them, and they also are doubting whether a man actually wants to do things for them, and they doubt themselves because they're doubting if they're attractive enough. I mean, we were talking about body image before, you know, if they don't feel they're attractive enough or deserving enough, or maybe they might be like the client I worked with who was really angry, and they know that their behaviors are, they know they're showing up a certain way that isn't very pleasant, and on some level they really feel like they just don't deserve to have a man do things for them. So when a woman isn't really feeling in her full power, what happens is she will be asking for things, but she speaks in a secret language. And men keep missing the secret language because, well, it's a secret. So
I might say, can you pass me the salt and pepper shaker, please? But really, what I really mean is, can you rub my feet and do the chores today?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So when a woman isn't fully in her power, maybe she's doubting her looks or just having a bad day, or maybe she's been the holy reign of terror all morning with her guy and knows that asking for something is going to be a bit of a challenge. So what she'll do is she will communicate through what I call hints and innuendos. So do you want me to give you an example of what
a
hint and innuendo? Okay, great. So you're walking along the street with your guy, you're walking by a window, a store window, and you see this gorgeous brown jacket in the window. And what a woman will do is she'll turn to her guy and say, "Ooh, it's cold." And he'll look at her and go, "Yeah, it is a little bit cold." And then he'll start thinking about how to get her warm and say, "Well, let's go to Starbucks and I'll buy you a coffee." Now, what she was really communicating was, let's go into the store and get that jacket. And if she was with her woman friend would have understood that. But for men, it's a secret language. It's a hint and innuendo. And it's just this really safe way for women to express themselves to men when they're interested in something. So they'll do things like say, "Oh, I heard George and Judy went to Hawaii." Or, "I heard there's a new lingerie store opening up downtown." These are all hints and innuendos. So, yeah.
So let's just pause there for a minute, because it's like I can hear people listening to this. And there's some people listening right now that are like, "Well, yeah, but I'm an independent woman. This is 2012, and I've got my own money. I can buy my own jacket. I don't need a man to buy me a jacket, and I don't want to be dependent on a man. I don't want him to buy me a jacket, and then I don't want to feel like I owe him something because he bought me a jacket."
Right.
You like my accent, by the way? I don't really know what accent that was.
Yeah, but that's like, you know, yo. yo, Jen. Yeah.
That's my Canadian-American border mix. That's my blended accent.
The United Colors of Edmonton language. Yeah, and I totally get it. And I know there's in fact, the majority of the women out there in the world right now are having that very thought. And I definitely can speak to that. So, yes, absolutely, we can do everything for ourselves. There's no question. And the thing is, if you really want to have romance blossom between a man, you're going to have to learn how to receive and allow a man to do at least some things for you. So I'm not saying that you have to lay in a bathtub all day long and eat bonbons. No. You can have your independence, you can have your career, you can do all those things, but when you're in the company of a man, you do want to be tapping into a little bit more of your receiving muscle and allowing them to show up as a man, as a hero, as a producer, a doer, a fixer. Because if a woman continues to take everything, all production into her own hands, she is going to be killing her chances of attracting a man and having them feel like they're needed and useful around her.
Mm-hmm.
And see, the thing, like, women are really stuck with this because here they are, especially in the business world, where they have really stuffed this receiving muscle because they've become very production orientated to get things done, to appear, like they can get the job done and also not appear weak or needy. And what's happening is this is translating and rippling into their romantic life. So women are showing up on dates and they're showing up like a man. And they're, instead of leading with their heart, they're laying down their resume on all their accomplishments. Like they're really just doing a lot of different behaviors. And guys are looking across the table at these women and going, wow, there's just going to be nothing to do for her. I don't think I'm going to give her a call again.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as you're talking and even expressing about the receiving muscle, what I have noticed with these friends who have recently entered into a relationship is that they're automatically manifesting stuff that they haven't even tried to manifest really hard other than just kind of thinking about it, because they've had to learn how to ask a man for what they want, even though they're used to doing providing for themselves, and it's naturally just rippling out into other areas of their life. So for people that are listening right now, if you don't have the money that you want or you don't have the, you know, opportunities coming in that you want and that kind of thing, you know, it's interesting what happens when you just activate your receiving muscle in general.
Oh, my goodness, yes. I mean, really, it's all about manifestation. And this is why it's so beautiful between a man and a woman, when a woman can just really, basically how it is a woman just stays in the what and the man stays in the how, you are going to be together forever. So it's about staying in the what you want. That's your side, what you want, and allowing the man to figure out how to get it produced.
Mm-hmm.
And don't cross the line. Like, don't ask a guy to do something with a stopwatch on. You've got to allow a man to fulfill on the thing that you've asked. And even if it's just like, you know, it's kind of a couple scenario, but even if it's just like cleaning the bathroom, this is a great example. You know, women will complain, I have to do all the housework, and then say, you know, and then have a guy, you know, just go clean the bathroom or whatever. And then if it's not done on her timeline, within half an hour, she's going to go in and do it herself. And what that does is it's very castrating behavior to a guy. It's like, you asked me to do this thing, I'm going to figure it out, and then you go in and do it yourself. Well, her chances of him wanting to produce something again for her go way down the bar.
So can you maybe explain castration a little more?
Sure. So castration is basically a behavior that women demonstrate, and we do it to make a man feel less good about himself. It's a way to kind of put a chink in his production. It's just not very friendly behavior. And I can give you one example. There's lots of ways we castrate, but one way I call frontal. And so, for example, you're looking at, you know, you're in front of a guy and you look at his shirt and go, did you buy that shirt?
Mm.
Or he pulls up in a beater car for a first date and you go, is that your car? So it's very frontal, very obvious, and it's just a subtle behavior, and it's intentional, and it's really coming from this place where women are kind of angry with guys. We're angry. Mm. We feel like we're in the world as a whole. We feel very much like second-class citizens. So, you know, a lot of men are still in a lot of positions of power, much more than women. You know, certainly in politics we see that. It's shifting in the business world, but still, you know, there's a lot of guys who are occupying, you know, all the major leadership roles and heads of companies. And also then in our third world countries where women are really suppressed. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but the countries where women are most suppressed are where wars are.
Mm.
So collectively as women, we are seeing and feeling all of this, and we aren't too happy about it. It's almost like the world has, it's all been made up. All the rules were made up and forgot to include us women.
Mm.
So what happens is we've got this really deep kind of anger inside of us, and we take it out on men, even though it's not the man himself that has created what's happening in the world or how our modern-day society is.
So let's take that war thing, because that kind of piqued my interest there. So countries where there's more war tend to be where women are suppressed. So then what does it say about a country like the U.S. that tends to get, based on a lot of people's opinions, overly involved in other people's wars? What would you say about the masculine-feminine energy there?
Well, I feel like my opinion is that women are definitely running the show. And so as far as I can see with that, it's almost like the women are feeling the suppression of their sisters in these other countries, and they're wanting to do something about it. They're wanting troops to go in there and stop the war, to stop the war and stop our sisters being suppressed.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine a lot of women hearing that would be like, I don't want there to be a war, but you're talking about energetically.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're sending in these, like, women are wanting, their desire is for, if we're talking about America here, is to send the American troops over to end the thing.
Mm-hmm. So I consider a country like England, where Margaret Thatcher was in power for a long time. I don't recall there being any England-based initiatives in war, although I'm sure there were things going on at that time. But I just think it's an interesting concept to pull it all together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So castration is not, it's intentional, but women are just really unconscious that they're doing it. And so one way that they're doing it is by having men think that they don't need them. Mm-hmm. And also a really common thing that shows up, especially on first dates, is women who are trumping men's stories. And what that looks like is a guy will say, well, wow, I just, last weekend I just finished running the marathon. And a woman will pipe back, oh, well, I've run three. Because they really want to get across that they, innocently, it's like they want to get across that they're not a gold digger, that they can take care of themselves, that they're not out for the guy's money, and all these other things. But it's really, it's definitely sending the wrong message.
Hmm. Well, that makes sense. So you were mentioning before about castration and the different examples, but there's been a few times where we've had conversations where I've had experiences with let's say people contacting me through my website, like people that would be called in the business world prospects, and have shown up a certain way, and you've instantly said, oh, they're castrating you. So just even when we consider conscious communication in general, what are ways that we can castrate people in general that we're in conversation with without even realizing we're doing it?
Well, first of all, you'll know you're being castrated. And by the way, this isn't just limited to man-woman dynamic. It can happen between, like, a woman can castrate another woman.
Mm-hmm.
And how that shows up, first of all, you'll know you're being castrated. You'll first feel it in your body. You're going to be feeling it probably around your solar plexus area, and it's going to feel like a poke or somebody just, like, really punching you kind of in this solar plexus area. And you're also going to feel a little bit of a like a jumbled energy coming from them, and you're going to feel like you're kind of spinning a little bit. So that's energetically what it feels like. It feels like there's something off. I feel like I'm being offended, but I can't put my finger on it. That's when you know you're being castrated.
Mm.
And so people like a person who's castrating, they can do things like, they're sabotaging you. That's basically what it is. So when you can see somebody, even I had an assistant once, a female, who could just never do anything the right way, even though it would be explained 5 times. And it was usually around anything to do with money, like having making sure a client's contract went out or the payment was processed and different things like this. And I could see that she was castrating me by delaying payments and creating all the jumbled energy around it because of her own money stories.
Mm.
And her jealousy of seeing what was coming into my business and maybe her income level not being that. And I figured all this out in hindsight, that it seemed anything around money, she was had a lot of jumbled energy around and all this stuff. And so that's what I eventually figured out. So that's one example of how it might show up.
Mm. Well, I think it's important, and you know, knowing that people are going to be listening and asking questions. What does that mean? What does that look like? What are some tangible ways I can look for that within myself so I communicate differently, but also that I can call people to communicate with me differently?
Mm-hmm.
And even in the spirit of communication, one of the things that, we've already discussed that men and women communicate differently. What's a woman's major complaint about how a man communicates?
Well, it's mostly around them not communicating.
Mm.
So that's one of them, is that they don't communicate enough. But another way, and especially, and again, this is coming up a lot in dating, is that men talk too much on the first date.
Mm.
And actually, I had a female client recently who went on a first date with this guy that she met at a barbecue. And I was actually really looking forward to our next session because I wanted to find out how their official kind of first date went. And in our session, she said, you know, Kim, he did all the right things. He showed up on time with flowers, opened the car door, took me to a nice restaurant. He's actually a great guy, but he talked the whole time. By the time the check arrived, you know, she just wanted to get out of there. And really, unfortunately, I hear this kind of feedback from women all the time. And it's actually something that men are doing innocently, and it's actually showing you that he's really, really interested. So on a first date, what a guy is doing is he's basically applying for a job, and he wants to get hired at Woman Incorporated.
Mm.
And so what he does is he lays down his resume. He's letting you know how his accomplishments and what he produces in the world, and he's basically letting a woman know that he can provide. Because for a man, that's the role they want to play. They want to be the providers. They want to take the weight of the world on the shoulders and carry it for you so that you don't have to. So how that ends up looking then is he's going on and on and on. And this is where men are making a really big mistake, because if you take your attention off a woman for more than 30 seconds, she's gone. Because as women, we love all the attention on us. And so when we are across the table from a guy who is talking nonstop, we've left the building. We're starting to think about what we're gonna, you know, what are we gonna wear tomorrow? Wonder how my little doggy's doing at home. You know, like we've gone and we're sitting there just waiting for him to stop talking and when the attention is gonna be back on us. So here guys think they're doing an awesome job of laying down the resume so that the woman knows that he's going to really be able to take care of her. And the more he lays down that resume, the more he's actually attracted to her. He's wanting her to know, like, look, it's really okay. I'm going to look after us here. But for the woman, of course, she's like yawning internally and can't wait to get out of there. So I've got some tips, though, for when this is happening. Now, for the guys listening, you'll make a much, much better impression by just listening and asking questions. So, yes, make sure that there's a balance of you talking a little bit, then ask her a question, get her talking a little bit, and back and forth, and make sure there's more of a balance of that. Now, for the women listening, what you want to be doing is becoming girl interrupted. And what I mean by that is you want to start interrupting men if they're going on and on. And what you want to know about how men communicate with each other, man to man, they're always interrupting each other. They're fine with that. They have no problem with that. The reason women hesitate in interrupting, because when women are communicating with other women, we let a woman talk and finish her thing, and then the other woman talks. So it's almost like we know that we're going to get our turn. But with guys, we don't know that because they're a different species. So what you want to be doing is just interrupting, and I can give you just kind of a little way to do this. So you're not going to be waiting for him to invite you into the conversation. That's something really, really important to remember. And you're just going to be stopping and asking him questions and then just gracefully interrupting him. So it could look like, let's say, as soon as there's a tiny break in the conversation, start a sentence that begins with, "That reminds me of the time when I," or "I think," or "I like." And it's pretty simple once you get the hang of it. And just the most important thing to remember is just not to be angry or upset when you jump into the conversation. Like, don't come in there with the energy of, you know, "I've got to interrupt you here. You're driving me nuts." No, just do it really, really gracefully. Now, I know, of course, it feels more romantic when a man just automatically starts asking you questions, but don't forget most of the guys are pretty clueless out there on this conversation piece. Like, they really, like, they're not dumb or anything. I mean, of course, I love men, but they're just not tuned in. They're not clued in to this big mistake that they're making on dates.
So then, is it safe to say that if a man's not really sharing that much on a first date, that he's not that interested? He's not really applying for the job?
I would say yes and no. Like, it depends on the man. He could be just a really quiet, shy guy. But yeah, if he seems kind of distracted and not really, you know, he's not asking you, well, certainly, you know, he might not be asking you questions, but if he's not talking too much, or you'll know that he's not wanting to impress. You'll just know it right away. You've got to trust your gut on that, and, you know, just go to the bathroom and don't come back. That's the coaching.
Well, I think that's the issue, though, right, is that as women, I mean, we all do this, but as women especially, we get very attached to results. And we're willing to overlook things because maybe we're lonely or, you know, there's just some reason why we want it to work, even though when actually intuitively we know that we're not attracted to them or they're not attracted to us. So I agree with you that we should listen to our intuition. But what would you say to someone who is trying to look for 101 excuses as to why they're showing up that way?
Can you clarify that, Jennifer? So when...
So let's just, because I can think of, you know, people I've coached over the years that just really live in the non-reality.
Mm-hmm.
So it's obvious to everyone else around them, let's say, that their boyfriend is not being faithful and just really not treating them well. So let's just apply that kind of a person to the first date, that kind of a woman that's just so attached to the Cinderella story or just so badly wanting to get married that she can't really see the red flags in front of her.
Well,
even though in her gut she feels it.
Yeah, well, she's definitely got it. You know, like for all women, my goodness, they really have to start raising the bar on what it is that they want. So for a woman who's having a series of wrong, like attracting the wrong men all the time, like if there's a pattern activated there or they're not asking her out on a second date or she's just like, it's not, like she's getting to a first date but not past that. So that's your first warning sign. So anybody listening, like you've, there's internal stuff going on there for sure. And what I recommend is really looking on, you know, what is it that you want and what are the values, what are the things that you're looking for in a man? And not the material things, but what do you really value? That's what's something you really want to get clear on. And honor yourself on those values. And I'd say usually people have about top 3-4 values, and you want to be making sure that a man is matching you there. And you can tell even on a first date, like if you value family, if you value somebody who's on time, like you value your time, so obviously a man showing up on time would be a value that's important to you, and just be looking within. And any guy who doesn't match those values is a no-go.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of you, like, being, allowing yourself, like, honoring yourself enough to get very clear on what it is that you want and not compromising. And I'm telling you, Jennifer, there's a lot of women out there who've really lowered the bar just to avoid being alone. And it's not worth it. You're better to be... spending a few lonely Saturday nights than in a relationship where you're not getting your needs met. I did that for a lifetime. And it just, it's never, ever worth it when you're compromising yourself in relationship or, of course, anywhere in life. It never feels good. There's no reward at the end of that.
And for those of you that are just tuning in, you're listening to Kim Saracen and her sermon on don't lower the bar.
I really, really want to drive that home. Yeah.
So, and actually this reminds me, because this is probably a good thing that your soulmate success club is good for folks that are just needing to start having some wake-up calls around, you know, stepping into awareness around how to show up a certain way in relationship and, you know, asking the right questions, getting supported on a monthly basis with questions and tips and dating advice and even relationship advice. Once people are in relationship, now what do I do? You tell me what to do to get into relationship with this person. Now what do I do that I'm here? So so can you, I know you have a special offer too for all of the Soul Purpose Central listeners, so can you just give us a little info about your club?
Oh, yeah. Well, I created this because, you know, I had worked with so many clients over the past 12 years, certainly, and privately coached a lot of them. And what I found with clients who had created the success that they needed and found the soulmate or whatever it was, sometimes what they would want is like a maintenance program. And so what we would do is we would set up like maybe one session a month just for a tune-up. And out of that, I thought, well, gosh, it would be pretty amazing if I could create something that was really budget-friendly and would be that monthly support that many, many more people could have access to. And so that's why I created the Soulmate Success Club. So what's happening is people are getting a topic call on the latest, hottest tips for soulmate success. And you know, as a teacher, Jennifer, with teacher energy, as you learn, you teach. So the minute I download something or something comes across my radar, I want to share it with everyone. And that's exactly what's going to be happening with the Soulmate Success Club. So you're getting a topic call that's current and my latest information. And then 2 weeks later, within that month, you're getting an open Q&A with me where you can ask me anything about men, dating, relationships, whatever it is. So it's a great way to receive coaching from me and just really have like that tune-up, that maintenance, that kind of commitment to your love life every single month to get you further along the soulmate path. And it's open to men and women, and it's actually only $37 a month, but the something-something I created for your community, Jennifer, is a further savings of $10 a month, so it would only be $27 a month to get all of that.
Wow, that's really amazing. And so totally affordable, first of all, and, we talked at the beginning of the show about how important it is to really take actions that match what you claim to want.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to have that happen when we're not matching things up the way we need to. So this is one of the ways you can, at least for those of you listening, start the ball rolling. You can keep sitting there and saying, oh, I want a relationship, but. Or you can start moving out of the yeah, but, and at least start in this space to move yourself forward.
Yeah, and you need somebody supporting you, like releasing the bad habits and your insecurities, melting walls around your heart, illuminating and amplifying your best assets, and that's what all of this is going to do. So what they can do when they get to checkout is they can just enter the coupon code CLUB SPECIAL, and they will receive that discount. And, oh, you probably need the link on where to send them.
Yeah.
So that is www.attractyourking.com/soulmateclub.
And then when they go to check out, they enter...
Yeah, they'll get to that page and just hit the pay now button, and you'll be taken to a checkout page, and you'll see where right at the top where it says enter your coupon, and you put in there club special, all one word, and you will receive a lovely discount.
Wonderful. So we've covered a lot of content today with how to support people in communicating more consciously and lots of great tips that can be applied right away. As we start to wrap up our show for today, what parting thoughts or questions can you leave our listeners with today that really just supports them in becoming even more aware of how to communicate consciously?
Well, I would say getting back to just raising
mm-hmm.
the bar on what you want, and know that you deserve to have your perfect soulmate. You deserve to have all the love and all the happiness that you see anybody else in your other inner circle experiencing. And I also recommend starting to really chomp down on your life and be happy now. Don't wait to be happy until a partner comes in. Be happy now, and that's going to accelerate the process for you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Kim, for everything that you've shared today, and thank you to all of you for sharing your time with us.
I hope that this information was valuable to you, and I can't imagine that it wouldn't have been. So we will sign off for today, but I want to wish you a wonderful rest of your day and your week, and I look forward to connecting with you on our next show. Namaste.
You've been listening to Soul Purpose Central with internationally acclaimed radio host Jennifer Longmore, North America's Soul Purpose expert, here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join Jennifer for your connection to the wisdom of the collective Akasha and selected experts who can align you to all things soul purpose. Prepare to be activated, aligned, and accelerated on your ascension path. To find out more about Jennifer Longmore, visit her on her site at souljourneys.ca.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.
Hi, my name is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. Are you a seeker, a dreamer, one of those people who's always known that there should be greater possibilities available but haven't yet been able to create it as your life? I'd like to help. Go to creatinggreaterpossibilities.com, where there's a free video and audio series created especially for you. Once again, creatinggreaterpossibilities.com. It's free, and it's designed to give you the actual tools that you need to create the life you've always been looking for. CreatingGreaterPossibilities.com.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect. Make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in. TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody. We'll see you there.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transform your life.